Welcome to Starfire Universal On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder, join us by the talk guest every Thursday starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on phone, dial 605-562-0444, just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web, just go to the talk's website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702. Or you can join us over on Twitch. I have a lovely chat room over there, which is very active these days. So go to twitch.com/SFU on call, and you will find us there, and you can join the happy band. And of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's SFUONCALL. And if you want to, you can also follow me on Twitter. My podcast account there is SFU On Call, same spelling as the email address. Also, if you want to follow my personal account, that's Paul Franz, P-U-L-F-R-A-N-Z. Just a reminder that I'm proud to be a Catholic and an O's fan, and I love technology. So if any of those bother you, then don't follow me. And of course, I have a lovely tertiary account, my actual business account, which is a Franz Games account, which I used for announcing news and client updates for both SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. And of course, the lovely TalkCast gets turned to a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. So some quick news from A to B this week. They posted the Andromedan Mobile Operation Sled on the Facebook page, which was an very interesting kind of ship. It looks like more of is a mobile operations ship, which has on top of it a lot of the MWPs, mobile weapons platforms. You know, basically they were used for various things from towing around bases. Basically, they're very, very small ships, kind of a little smaller than a PF, you know, actually even smaller than a PF, somewhere between a PF and it's like more like an interceptor when it comes to the size. At least that's the way I picture them anyway. And that's it for A to B. Next, they had a meeting of all of them, and they had a lovely picture. If you looked at Gene Sexton's feed on that, you'll find it there, and it was actually quite nice. When it comes to the Sapphire Star 11 tournament, we have the finals, which started tonight at 5 o'clock. They did not complete, at least I don't think they got completed, because I tried to join it, you know, just to check in on the game. It looks like they stopped at the end of game of turn two. Both of them got beat up a little bit, but I don't think there was an obvious winner at that point when I looked at the SSDs. So I'd say at that point they just stopped after two turns after 5 o'clock tonight. I'm not sure what the actual status. They had not posted anything, so I'm assuming there's no winner, because I just checked around an hour ago. So, you know, if they started around 5, I looked at around 8, you know, it's 3 hours, so I would think that I would hear something by that time if someone had won. So, moving onward and forward, there's not much going on when it comes to the library report. Just a reminder, though, for those with Starfleet who play Starfleet Warlord, there is a game that is starting this Saturday. Die Hard 53 is starting this Saturday. So if you want to join us, come and join us. We'll be in next, I have to post it, but next weekend we'll be starting a new standards game, which will be the standards 2-week turnaround. So with that is the news for this week. And it's me, the one of Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight we have two lovely guests. And of course, the regular chat room is right here, right beside me. And which I'll say hello when I once I see more people join. But first, let's start with Barry. How you doing, Barry?
Outstanding, outstanding. How are you doing?
Doing good, doing good. Just been on a vacation for the past 4 days. Well, I've been off camping for the past 4 days. It's been quite nice.
Oh, nice.
And
where'd you go camp? Well, yeah, bring Doug in.
Yeah, but let's bring Doug in. Hey, Doug, how you doing?
I'm here. How are you? How's good. The sound? Does the sound good?
Yeah, it sounds good. Sounds good. Yeah, I did some camping down in Elk Neck, Maryland. Elk Neck Park. It's like I'm near Haverty Grace,
nice.
Maryland.
Nice.
Yeah, I was able to rent a trailer, actually a very small trailer, it's a Teardrop, and just did some camping just by myself. You know, my wife and her sister headed up to the Poconos to spend some time with their other sister. So it was nice. You know, it was a nice change.
Cool.
So, yes.
So the other sister's not an identical.
No. We have Tina, who's the twin, and we have Becca, who is actually, she is one of the other set of twins, but the other, her twin died many years ago from cancer. So.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah. It sucks, but it happens. Wow.
Still sad when it happens.
No, oh, agreed.
Yep.
You know, she was 5 years, you know, clean, and then they came back.
Oof.
So.
I can't predict that.
Nope, definitely not. But anyway, moving on and forward to actually tonight's discussion, which is the main discussion is with Doug.
Oh, hi.
Yes.
I'm supposed to talk?
Yeah.
Woo-hoo!
I figured you'd talk about this. You got a lot more, a lot more about this than I am because you're the one organizing this.
Oh, you mean Gamers and Winter?
Yeah, Gamers and Winter, man.
Coming up in January. It's a ways off at the moment. We used to do it summer and winter, and summer would be Labor Day weekend. But we're not doing it this year for the summer event because basically attendance was way down after the COVID restrictions were lifted. Now, we were doing pretty good when COVID hit, and when the restrictions were lifted, we hit a big road bump and had a severe drop in attendance the last two events. So that's impacted our ability to run it at the moment. And I don't really see going forward with it unless we get a little bit of like advanced backing from some of the people that have said they want to see the thing go on. Because it's just kind of a chancy thing. I've been doing this for like a good decade and a half, roughly, with just missing the 1 year because of COVID. And we built it from nothing. There was like, 17 people the first time we got together way back in 2009 at the Galatians Lutheran Church. Remember that?
Yep. Oh, I remember that.
And sort of.
When was the one at the it was the Freemason Lodge location?
Oh, you're thinking of the Moose Lodge.
Yes.
Not the Moose Lodge. That was in Marysville. No. Before that. It was the Freemasons.
Yes. I think that was either 2010, 2011. That was the one.
That was in Hamburg. Yes, and, that was the first one I went to.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
Yeah. I've gone to every single one so far. But
Paul is a veteran.
very true.
Veteran of the event.
Mm-hmm. Well, so. Since we have a larger audience than just our little group here in Pennsylvania, why don't you describe what exactly what Gamers Winter and Summer is?
What it is, it's a very small convention setup, and we have like role-playing games, tabletop games, board games. People play collectible card games. Our main focus is basically having a nice space for about most of the day. Usually 14 hours is what we average as far as having it open, like 10 a.m. to midnight kind of thing on a long holiday weekend. And usually Monday holidays, we do Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Small admission fee and generally no fees for additional events within it. So like if you're used to going to Origins or Gen Con or something like that, you're going to go in and you're going to pay more just to walk in the door for a day plus additional for all the things. All the extra events that you want to do within it. Whereas in ours, we have a lot of people who volunteer and come in, and they will run demos of games. They'll teach you to play it. And you can also get those games that you want to play that you don't get to play very often, like Puerto Rico, for instance, or Brass, you know? Or Twilight Imperium, you know. And if you have, like, an obscure game and know a few people that are willing to get together to do it, this is a good place to come do it. There used to be a kind of, like, come out for the demo it vibe and learn new games thing, but over the years that's kind of become more of a let's all get together and do the occasional new game together, but also revisit the games that are ones we're used to and we like to play, but we don't get to, you know, because, you know, maybe you have family issues, space, time requirements, and then you have a dedicated day to it and a big space for it. Well, there you go. But in that sense, it's kind of like going to one of the larger conventions. And I would say it's comparable in experience to that, because a lot of people will come into a large convention. You and I, we used to go to Origins regularly way back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll go to their one little spot in Origins, and they're in that seat for like 10, 12, 14 hours for the whole day, doing just their one thing, and the rest of the place doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter that there's 20,000 people or 10,000 or 5,000 at the convention, because for the most part, it's a five-person, six-person, 10-person, you know, your small group of people that you're doing your thing with kind of experience, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, get back to what we're doing with Gamers of Winter. Basically, I've set up a GoFundMe. You can throw us any amount of money that you want to help see the event continue. Yeah. And we will credit people towards their registration for next year. But it's not really, like, set up to be a pre-registration thing. You know, there's several people have told me that they would be glad to throw money at it and just to see it continue.
Mm-hmm.
And those are some of our volunteers that have been coming out for years. And I find that awesome. There's a multiple kind of way we're looking at doing this. And I know this sounds kind of weird, but one of the things that I threw into the Facebook page, which you can find by doing a search, Gamers of South Central PA Convention, on Facebook, it should turn us right up. I threw a little poll up there and I said, look, would you be supportive of a one-shot event, you know, where, or would you be supportive if we moved into a space where we could do multiple events? And depending on the how the fundraiser goes, we might look at leasing a commercial space, holding the Gamers of Winter convention, it's 3 days in that space, and then during the rest of the lease, running additional events. Like, for instance, if a Warhammer group wants to come in and have a bash, and they want to have just them in there for a weekend, we can have an exclusive thing just for them. If an SFB group decides they want to come into it, and I'll get back to that in a minute, then, you know, the same thing. We'll have the space to do it. And, you know, anybody wants to have a meetup night and there's enough interest in it, we can open the doors for that. And then, you know, it could be, the space could be used for other things, like a little art studio, like a little photography, a little videography. You want to do a workshop with people about something gaming related, there you go. We'd have the space to do it.
Mm-hmm. And,
you guys got any questions about
that? Well, one thing I think also we have to, one, I'm assuming that the GoFundMe link is also on the Gamers of Winter site, correct?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Number one, that's,
it's linked through both the GamersOfWinter.com site and the or .net site and the Facebook page.
Okay.
So it's in the group page. I keep reposting it there. Feel free to share it.
Understood. The important thing is that not everyone here is on Facebook. And I want to make sure people can find that and so forth. Of course, number two, which is we have not mentioned, but I figure we should mention, is location.
We are in South Central Pennsylvania, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, to be specific.
Yes.
So, not in the city part, but out in the suburbs of Harrisburg,
right,
greater Harrisburg area.
Yeah, usually it's around the, I think we actually had one that was actually in the city at that one church. Was that?
Yeah, that was Lakeside Lutheran.
Right. I think that was
the one I was talking about. That was years ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, actually, if you want me to throw out where we've been, just real quick to give you an idea, we started at the Lakeside Lutheran Church in northern Harrisburg. We've also been at the Creekside Fire Hall on the West Shore. For those not from the area, there's East Shore, West Shore. The Susquehanna River runs right through the larger area. Harrisburg itself is on the East Bank. But we did the one on the West Shore. We did actually several years up in Marysville at the Marysville Moose.
Yep.
We did, I think the other one you mentioned, it may have been in Harrisburg, if I remember correctly. Let's see. And then we did a bunch at, Wyndham Gardens for several years before they decided they were going to renovate their space.
Our pattern
has been that we get a place, they really like us once they see what we do, because from the venue perspective, we're a very low maintenance event.
Right.
And a very low key. It's not like a raucous wedding thing or anything like that. It's not a huge dance party.
Yeah. We're quiet gamers.
Well, it can be kind of loud at times, but yes.
Right.
But compared to other events.
Well, okay, loud. No. I mean,
compared to other events, it's very venue friendly from a cost perspective and what they got to put into it.
Yeah, it's also family friendly.
Yeah, we've got a space, and then the main reason I think that we've lost the venues and had to find new ones has been either we outgrew the space or, like, renovations. I can think of at least three off the top of my head where they said we couldn't come back the next year because of renovations that were coming up. I mean, that's partly why we went out of Grantville. Even though Grantville, as a venue, annoyed some of our participants in the last year we were there, they also turned around and said they were going to have some renovations done to their space, which was also a contributing factor to us having to find another one. And that put us back into another hotel in Harrisburg. We were at Comfort Suites out in Grantville for several years.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I mean.
Mm-hmm. And then we were at the Holiday Inn, or was that not? It was a Comfort. Next door. We're next door to the Holiday Inn.
Yeah, there was the one we were there for, like, 1 year, but that was because we were looking for a space, and we found, that was the year that they double-booked us at the firehouse. We were at Paxonia Firehouse for, 3 years, 4 years, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. One of the years they accidentally double-booked us with a wedding, and we ended up having to go to, was it Comfort Suites? No, it wasn't Comfort Suites. Mm-hmm. It was something similar in sounding name. A lot of these change kind of like sound generic like that now.
Yeah, I understood.
But it was the one over in off the Union Deposit exit.
Mm-hmm.
But right. That was just a one-shot deal.
Right.
And we went back to Fire Hall for several years after that. And then their thing, the Fire Hall, we lost them because they basically voted that they were going to renovate their space into a different purpose altogether and not do rentals post-COVID. So here we are, I was looking for a space and finding out that available spaces, the prices went up. And when somebody asked me about if we hit the fundraiser number, is it free for everybody? It's like, well, the fundraiser number is the number I had to pick. I picked a number when I made the GoFundMe, and I thought, that's not an unreasonable amount to shoot for if we might be looking at ending up in a multi-week or a month rental instead of a one-shot deal like the Marriott, where we go in for just that weekend.
Right, in which case I think, I would assume that in that case, let's say that we actually got the big number, or even went past the $6,000 that we're trying to reach. That is, people coming off the street would still have to pay.
After the people tapped in for joy, I'll print out everybody that's getting in for free. Well, not for free, but that backed it, and. Right. Yeah, everybody else can pay because that pay is going to go towards the next event.
Exactly.
It's going to go towards other expenses for the next event. I mean, if we hit like the $6,000 mark, I'm seriously looking at possibly a multi-month rental. And I think with the market starting to tank for real estate and stuff like that, we might be able to get something on a decent lease.
Mm-hmm.
Challenging part of that is that the way it's set up right now, gamers of winter to gamers of summer is 9 months apart.
Yeah. Oh, by the way,
gamers of summer to gamers of winter is 6 months apart.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy.
It would work better if we did it September through January.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, if we can do anything like that, I'd be ecstatic. And we might throw in, gamers of spring along with it, because why the heck not?
Oh, agreed.
And there's so many holiday weekends. I could easily see doing an extra one a year if there's the interest for people to come into it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, Doug, you have to redo the dates.
I do?
Yeah, because I'm looking at 2023, and that the Martin Luther King Jr. Birthday weekend is the 14th, 15th, and 16th, not the 16th, 17th, and 18th.
Oh, okay. That's easily fixed.
Right. Well,
Monday. No. I'm right. It's a Monday holiday. It's the 16th.
Yeah, the 16th.
It's observed on the Monday closest to his birthday.
Right. Yeah, but usually it's Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Yeah.
So that'd be the 14th,
15th. What day does Martin Luther King fall on in 2023? I'm looking right at it.
That's 16th.
Calendar date. Did I not put 14, 15, 16?
No, you put 16, 17, 18th. I'm assuming it's from...
Oh, okay. So I had a senior moment on that.
Yeah.
Yay, old me. I'll fix it.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll allow it.
Yeah, oh, agree. I just want to tell anyone who's listening that, okay, you know, that the dates are wrong on it, but they will be fixed. So it is for the 14th, 15th, and 16th. So, yeah, it's not midweek.
Yeah, I have a list. So you are absolutely correct. I will definitely fix that.
Understood.
So
we usually run both the winters and summer events. We always ran on a holiday weekend. Invariably, I'd come like Saturday and Sunday, and not come on Monday because Monday was my family day. It's been mm-hmm. part of the holiday actually with my family, which I think was a good. I figured it's a good thing. But yeah.
Well, maybe you could one of these days bring your family to the Gamers Convention.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the ideal solution.
Oh, agreed. I don't think my wife would be interested. Possibly my youngest. They might be interested. I'd have to double check. It all depends on her sleep schedule that she's on at that moment in time. Because
right.
Most of the time she's wakes up at like 5 o'clock in the evening and goes to bed at like 4 o'clock. But sometimes her schedule gets really screwed up and she is awake all the day long, like a normal person. and I can see her being interested in some of the games. Definitely. Especially if playing Splendor, she liked to kick my butt again and again and again. So.
Yeah, I've heard that.
I hate to be a bearer of bad news while talking about hopefully having a, good future for Gamers of Winter. But did you guys hear about Council of Five Nations?
No.
Yeah, I was reading some of that. I got to read the fully again. Unfortunately, Dave Ching wrote a really long post.
Okay.
I know he posted also on the Starfleet Battles group too, right? On Facebook.
Yeah, if you're ready.
I haven't.
What happened? Are they no more?
I'll give you the short version.
Please do.
Yeah, they're still there. They're going to do their event this September. But they've made a group decision, apparently, that they're going to cease running the event after 2023. And they don't know where they're going to run, the event in 2023. I offered to come in with us, and we'll be on their plate of places they'll consider. I would love it if they came down to us for like their last one. And I never got to get up there.
I took Paul up there once.
Yep. That was fun.
So, It came down to two things. It was it was a drop in attendance after post COVID, and the graying of the root.
Yeah. Oh, understood.
This is something that I've seen a lot of other groups talk about, you know, is the graying of the people in their community, and it hits all the groups. So yeah, we're all getting up there a bit too.
Oh yeah. Well,
now that's not to say that there aren't new people coming into it, but on the other hand, when you're talking about SFB, it's a one percenter thing. Mm-hmm. In the gaming community to start with decades ago.
Yeah.
You guys still there or am
yeah.
I muted?
No. Yeah, I can hear you. So I was watching Jordan Peterson today, and he was suggesting that it's a good idea to play board games with your spouse.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys know. Do you know who Jordan Peterson is?
Oh, yes, I do. I know him quite well.
Not off the top of my head. But I did want to throw something in there as a little last thing on the gamers thing before we switch topics.
Right.
If you guys don't mind.
No, of course not.
And what it is I looked at the numbers of people we have. We have like 191 people in the group, just in the Facebook group.
Mm-hmm.
And we have about 40 to 50 people that come out on a regular basis. And I'm not saying that you count on the guys from Schenectady who come in from all over the country. I mean, I did point out to them that we're actually a very, very good, well-connected airport
mm-hmm.
here in Harrisburg.
Yeah.
But if there are 20-something people joined in with us and our 40 to 50 people basically threw in pre-reg or slightly more than they would do for pre-reg, we would be in really good shape where we were guaranteed having a space, period. Regardless of whether it goes into a larger multiple use lease that I would love to see, or if it is, you know, just a weekend at a really nice hotel where we're just moving, you know, up a step into a larger facility that costs a bit more, which I would actually still be incredibly grateful to see. But it's like,
yeah,
not expecting anybody to walk in with a huge chunk of money. But if most of the people that are, you know, involved with the group and maybe a few new ones threw in on it, we'd be in really good shape. So just wanted to throw that out there.
Mm-hmm. Understood.
Or like,
Yeah, because...
Okay, that was all I had right there.
Oh, understood.
For the moment.
Yeah, when it comes to Council of Five Nations, you know, I'd be happy to head back up there, you know, if they want to do it that, or if they want to bring it maybe a little farther south. I understood that that would definitely put a kink in, like, Tim Linden's, and I think other Canadians that would want to cross the border and chance being stuck with in America for a little bit.
But on the other hand, we're a lot more accessible for everybody else on the East Coast.
Oh yeah. Oh, agreed. The question, of course, for them is, what is their demographic? Who comes and where do they come from? Because,
well, see, there's the whole point of why they're shutting down.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically that their group was not looking at having the numbers anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if that's going to continue. Maybe they'll change their mind between now and 2023. But that was the email they put out was, yeah, because they were at like 20 or less people. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of an issue.
Oh, understood.
So it's like, it's not like you've got the Origins thing. They don't run the SFB tournament there anymore.
Right.
I remember way back in the day when we used to go to Origins, we'd take that long drive out to Ohio.
Yeah.
Once they settled there, and then 1 year, ADB made the decision to, you know, not run their captains tournament there anymore.
Right, and well,
and
not
me,
not well, not it's not it wasn't about the tournament. It was more about them actually going out there, and therefore, the issue there really was that when ADB came back from the interim. You know, actually, they were able to sell games and go and so forth. They actually were able to go, and then were actually be represented at Origins. And at that point, they basically, what was previously run by Joe Butler and so forth, basically the actual SFB players, then got run by ADB, got passed, you know, said, handed off to ADB. And then when ADB no longer went to Origins, there was no SFB event because of, you know, ADB only did it. So, you know, no one thought about, you know, and I don't think even ADB thought about it, which was the whole idea of passing it off onto volunteers and say, okay, well, you guys, go, you know, we're not going to be there, but you guys can still run the, you know, go to Origins, run the tournament, and we'll still support you. I don't think that, in my mind, I don't think ADB really ever put their hand out for that. Now, I understand that the... What was that?
Yeah, they missed that one. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely feel like they did drop the ball in that. At the very least, they didn't seem to encourage anybody to run an SFB event at Origins, because they weren't there.
I could spend like an entire hour talking about that, but you know, short version. I was like, if we could set up a tournament to fill that void, I'd be quite happy to see those guys coming in again. It'd be like a reunion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, agreed. I totally agree there.
I started the Origins thing because of the Captain's Tournament back when it was still traveling. I think Baltimore was my first one.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Baltimore, San Jose,
I remember one in Baltimore because I went to that one. Because the one thing I really remembered about the Origins at Baltimore was this one thing that I distinctly remember, which was being up top, you know, the SFB room was actually on the top level of the two-story convention center. And then if you looked over the railing, down in the middle of the area, they were running a BattleTech event where they actually had the miniatures of the BattleTechs, and they would like mutilate them. If they lost an arm, they cut off an arm. If they lost a leg, they cut off the leg. Of these miniatures, you know. So that was one thing that I distinctly remember about Origins at Baltimore. Also, I think, was that one of the ones? I'm thinking about this. No, wasn't
there
that
one at the University of Maryland it was that exit on 695, just before I-95.
You could be thinking of Balticon.
It was at a college.
Well, yeah, Balticon was always in actually Baltimore itself. I know exactly where it was held because I used to go to Balticon a lot.
Oh, okay.
I ran events at Balticon.
Entonsville.
Yeah.
University of Maryland, Baltimore County.
Oh, okay. I know exactly where that is. I never went to that one, but I know where it is.
Yeah.
Because my brother went to college there.
I remember I was there, and Volume 3 came out that weekend, and I got my hands on it, and it was like, oh, that's where I got the rules for the PPD. Because they had been talking about this new weapon system called the PPD for, I was like, well, what is that? What is this? I remember seeing, they say, well, this is, I think, oh, I remember. It was Supplement 2, and they were mentioning, they had weapons tables for the PPD, and this is going to be in a future product. But it's like, oh, that looks pretty cool. I wonder what it's going to be like.
Right.
And we got it, and it was like, wow. Mm-hmm. And that brought it home, and I didn't have anybody to play with, so I set up a solitaire scenario, and it's like, okay, I'll take a 10-ship fleet, as they recommended in that scenario, and set it up in echelon formation, and I think on the other side I use 10 Klingon ships, and I played it solitaire, and the IFC had their butts kicked. It turns out echelon formation just doesn't work.
Yeah, well, we could have a long discussion on echelon formation and SFB rules, because agreed that you actually have to change the rules in SFB to actually make the echelon formation a reality and actually have it so it works as a tactic and an overall fleet a fleet formation. You know, there's a
right and so what would be the rules that changes that they were proposing that would make it actually work?
Well, no one's proposed any, but to me, what they'd have to, the only way to propose, the only way to have it so that it actually worked, was that you have to require that each, only one ship can be in a hex at one time. So you can't, there's, basically, well, it completely eliminates super stacks.
Increase the explosion strength of the ships back to what it was in the original game.
Well, but again, Barry, you're talking about volume, when you got the rules for volume 3, they still had the old explosive strengths. It wasn't until they actually released the Captain's Edition that they actually reduced the explosion strengths.
Well, go back to the originals and double it.
Oh, you don't use
it. Then people want to spread their ships out.
Oh, understood. And I think that was also...
Which actually does make sense.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. That'd be one way of kind of encouraging people to do that. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the explosion strengths reach out, say 3-4 hexes. Then you want to have 3-4. You know, say the explosions reach out 2-3 hexes anyway. Then people are going to want to maintain a 3-hex separation,
or at least maybe not 3-hex, but at least a more distant separation instead of being right on top of each other.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I agree. I think.
And of course, then.
Go.
And then, to tell you the truth, the formation, the other problem with echelon formation is pick a direction, keep going that way, because trying to turn that formation stay in formation. Oh, my God. You know.
Oh, I understand.
It's hard enough if you had ships in line ahead, like the old sailing ship or even wet navy battleship formations, where you had ships in the line and they were all in a line. You know, keeping one of those formations and trying to maneuver it was incredibly tough. But an echelon would be
no, agreed.
Much, much more difficult.
The thing is,
it was flawed. It was just flat out flawed.
Oh, understood.
As not only as a concept and a doctrine, but it was one of those things that when it met players, it didn't work. So you had to figure out another way of using them effectively.
Understood.
Yeah, well, the PPD was a god weapon. It was completely different than every other weapon in the game in that it was just so much longer range. The only thing that was comparable was a Phaser 4.
I don't know. I mean, we didn't have that much problem with it when we tried it. But that's mostly because their echelon tactics splits up their force if you run it that way. But with other fleet doctrines, you have, like, everybody together in one spot maximizing their firepower. That's how you kill
sure.
it. Sure. You can pick those echelons.
Yeah, concentration of firepower.
If I recall correctly, that's kind of what happened when we played it at Fort Hood. So.
Yeah, the PPD, you put it far enough back, and even though it's very long range, it just doesn't have the range to take out enemy ships because you're already pushing it so far back. But the PPDs needed to be in slightly more limited numbers and increase the range of the PPD.
Yeah, but overall, when it comes to fleet formations, any fleet formation is hard to maintain. Short of short of having a big stack of them, you know, which in case it's super stacking. Basically, you're treating it as one large ship spread over multiple SSDs. That's what you're doing. There's no fleet tactics
right.
involved. You know,
well, let's say you had a PPD. If they had arranged a PPD where you could take a dreadnought, and at range, say 20, every time that dreadnought fires its PPDs, a cruiser on the other side dies. And the explosion strengths and ships are large enough that everybody has to keep their ships separated. Then I can see an echelon being usable.
Mm-hmm.
Because if somebody tries to concentrate their ships, you're going to pick a ship that you can detonate and concentrate a whole fleet on that ship and kaboom, and that's going to cripple everything around it. So you got to spread, everybody has to spread their ships out. Now with all their ships spread out, your frontline ships are going to be attritioned out.
Right.
But you're going to be taking out enemy cruisers with the PPD.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And I think they also said something. I think they said the economic and the tactical BPV of the frigates was, the economic was like really, really cheap. Compared to their tactical.
I have a quick question, Barry.
Mm-hmm.
Barry, do you have show up on your computer while you're talking on the phone?
Hang on, let me boot up my laptop.
Yeah, if you do, can you mute the computer? Because you're getting a feedback. You're getting an echo.
No, my computer was turned off.
Yeah.
Okay, that's probably just my phone then.
Yeah, it's just your phone because I'm not hearing any echo from Barry. I'm not hearing echo from.
Yay.
I'm hearing an echo.
I'm not.
Obsolescence in action.
Yeah, I'm hearing.
Are you hearing an echo from me?
No.
Okay. I'm hearing it from Barry. Just Barry.
Okay, but anyway, let's get back to the Council of Five Nations just for a moment. and that is one last
when
time
when I put my phone on mute, I continue to hear an echo.
That's weird.
Okay.
But I will take you off of Bluetooth and see what happens.
Sounds like a good idea to me. But anyway, Council of Flying Nations. Last time I went, it's a very much larger event than Gamers of Winter. Gamers of Winter and Gamers of Summer is mainly, to me, is a lot.
I'm off of Bluetooth. Are you still hearing the echo?
No, it stopped.
What's that?
It stopped. The echo stopped.
Okay, then it was my Bluetooth that was doing it. Sorry.
That's okay. But anyway, getting back to the Council of Flying Nations, the Gamers of Winter is basically what I call a single room convention. And that is, it's small enough that we can run it in a single big room, you know, with multiple tables and so forth, versus Council of Five Nations. At least last time that me and Barry went, at least I went with Barry. Council of Five Nations was a multiple room across,
Is it all SFP?
No. It was all different kinds of games when it comes to Council of Five Nations.
I think we're talking about the SFP thing within that then.
Yeah, okay.
They may not cut down the event itself, but it sounds like they're going to stop running the SFP event at that one.
Right. See, that's why I went. I haven't had a chance to actually listen.
I'm not saying a larger convention is shutting down, but they're shutting down the people that are running the SFP thing at Council of Five Nations.
That's why I have not read. I had to take your word for what that meant, and you didn't specifically say the SFP portion. And that's why I hadn't had a chance to read David Chang's post to understand what he's saying. So if it's just this,
it was the largest games convention or Starfleet Battles tournament remaining, if I remember correctly.
Correct. Period. Because I was about to say, in real person event, but as of late, even the online events, actually we've been limiting the tournaments to 16 players when it comes to SFB Online. Just because. It'd be nice if we could get more, but the thing is, I don't think we could get 32. But anyway, okay, cool. In which case, having the SFB brought, then obviously we could, Games of Winter could have easily absorbed that. If it was just SFB.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to forward you my email chain.
Okay.
GoFundMe is saying that... they have a tip? What the hell is the tip?
Oh, do you want me to send it to your Gmail?
Well, I'm on the GoFundMe here, and it's saying, and then they had a 15% tip, and I'm like, what the hell?
You can specify how much tip you give to them or not. There should be a slider, because basically GoFundMe needs money to run the service themselves, so they have to have at least a certain percentage.
Okay, and that's in addition to the amount they just pulled.
I think what he's saying is it covers the amount. Like, if you throw in $100, you want to throw in $100, they're going to take out $5 or $10. Then if you wanted to throw a tip of 15% on, you're going to cover their fee.
Right.
Something like that. Is that what you're saying, Paul?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're...
Well,
that's my understanding.
I sent that to your Gmail.
All right, let me go look.
Not you, Jerry. Paul. The thing about Council of Financial. I just sent it to him so to see what I saw.
Yeah, because
it'll right. make sense. Just the SFP.
All right. Hang on.
Yeah, the email, the beginning email is exactly what he posted on the discussion board.
Hang on a sec.
Okay. Yeah, so yeah, we're on the same page now.
Right.
It's just that part of it.
Right. Right. Which...
Okay, you should have gotten my donation.
Okay, thank you. All donations accepted. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Great human being and so forth. And so on. And
you're welcome.
What the heck did I do with this? January 17th? 14, 15, 16. Okay.
So you got the full amount that I sent. It should have been a very round number.
I hold on a moment so I can actually look at it. Let's see. This is like Christmas time in June.
Okay. Yeah. But so do it. Yeah. Absolutely.
Thank you, Barry.
Yes.
Oh, you're welcome.
So. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Running the asset.
Yeah.
Just so you know, for whatever reason, the whole thing falls flat. I have to set up a withdrawal thing, and I'm not going to set that up until September if I do. And if I don't set it up, then everything gets refunded and they don't keep their cut. As far as my knowledge of it.
Right. So, well. Yeah, we'll see. Now, do they charge my credit card?
Positively.
Now, do they charge my credit card before you take your cut or not?
Oh, it's cut. It's your charge now, is my understanding.
Okay.
And refund your card if the fundraiser does not set up a withdrawal program by a certain date. My date is in October. That I have to set up the withdrawal thing. And if I don't do it by then the current funds will be refunded.
Gotcha.
That makes sense?
Yeah,
that's what they're telling me in email. And I haven't set up the withdrawal thing yet because I want to actually see something worth withdrawing that I know I can apply to the rental. No, we hit a few hundred dollars, and the few hundred dollars is enough to get a reservation. Yay. Then I'll do that. If we hit literally like $150 and it doesn't go any further than that, then I might just let the money go back to you guys and say, okay, it's time to retire the convention. Because, you know, you got 191 people in our group. We've got 40 to 50 people that come out on a regular basis. Even if they all just say, okay, it's pre-reg and everybody pre-regs at once, we're good. But if people don't care that much, then it really deeply gets to me after running this thing for, you know, 14 freaking years.
Understood.
So.
Yeah, I hear you.
If you kind of see where I'm coming from. From that, I mean, everything has a lifetime, and you know, I ended up in the hospital this last one, the week prior to the event. I spent that weekend in the hospital waiting for these guys to rip my bladder out, for God's sake.
Right.
And the event still went on. We had sufficient volunteers, and so we knew what to do. to cover for me not being there. And, you know, everybody kind of pulled together on it, which I loved that. I loved that it could happen like that, that it didn't just fall apart at the last second. But on the other hand, you know, I'm the guy that deals with all the other stuff on the year-round thing.
Right.
And, right. You know, I want to set it up so it will continue. That's basically it. But on the other hand, is that, you know, do other people want to see it continue? Right. We've tried to get other people to come in on the in-between event volunteering and workload before, and it's never really panned out. Because basically, it's a small event. We don't pay our staff. It's all volunteer. We're not Origins. I mean, like, you know, just to contrast it, like, Origins, even though it's kind of gone down into a large regional from a huge national over the years, it's still, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars for them to lease their space. It's right. Got a huge budget. They have paid staff that, a small core staff that works year-round. We don't. And I understand that. So there's that. I would love it forward for that later on.
So Monday, July 4th, I'd like to run a game at my house. My wife is kind of confined to the living room of our house. So, you know, she can play, but she can't really leave the room because she's kind of still getting over a double hip replacement. But I'm thinking about Dominant Species, which is a three-player minimum.
Understood.
Which means... So both of you are invited.
Mm-hmm. Understood. I have to check.
I've got Sweetie to talk to about stuff like that.
Yeah, same here.
Not to say that I'm particularly whipped, but, you know, hey, the door's shut, so I can say, no, I'm not.
There you go. Okay. Well, just check me if you're going to come or not.
Yeah. Hey, question. For Paul.
Yes.
You mentioned earlier Federation and Empire during discussion about, like, the it was programming stuff that you were talking about in last week's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And I just was thinking along the lines of the SFB guys, is there a large group that's still wants to get together and do that once in a while the way that they used to do it at Origins, or do they still do it there? Because to me, that would be a good set of guys to come in and do like a in-between event, if that makes sense, because of the space that they need and all that.
Mm-hmm. You mean changing?
But yeah, you mentioned Butler, it's like there's a name I hadn't heard since he passed away ages ago.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well.
Wow.
That was definitely a sad day when he died. And what sucks? You know what really sucks for me is that I thought multiple times actually contacting Joe and asking if he wants to play Starfleet Battles. Because he lived in Norristown. I lived in Pottstown. It's the 15 minute drive down 422 to go to his house. And I never did it. You know. So, but, you know, then he died. It's like, well, there goes that.
Yeah.
But, you know, Joe was a great guy, you know. He really was.
It's just the reality of us getting older.
Amen.
Yeah.
The number one thing that sucks is, like, the 10 little Indians aspect of it, so to speak.
Yeah.
On the circles of friends. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think, guys, I'm going to wrap it up here. Because
I was going to do the same because I'm getting tired.
Understood.
Okay.
Doug?
It's... Hey, if you want to come on another week, feel free to ask, because since you're wrapping it up, I was kind of wanting to talk about, like, some of the old road trip times, too. That was fun.
Oh, understood.
Well, I know Mom told you. I'm standing right here on the phone. Can you see that? Yeah.
No, I can't see that. I can hear that. Okay. Well, Barry, you have a good night.
Let me know. You too. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, Doug, yeah, I'll definitely be happy to have you on again. And we can talk about old days and origins. Okay.
Well, yes, little man, I know we did the winter one this year. That's for next year.
Yep.
But I have to change the dates on it.
What about summer?
We're not doing the summer one this year.
Yep. Oh. Sorry.
We're going to do the winter one year, and then maybe the summer one next year, depending on how the winter one goes. Sorry, yes. Someone came in and said something. And
I understood.
Bar.
That's fine.
So, yep. Yeah, say hi, Douglas.
Hi.
Hi, Doug. Douglas.
Yes, that's your godson.
Yes, I know he's my godson.
Right. Yeah, maybe you could visit him on the 4th. If you're going to Barry's or not, you know.
You do realize he lives down York, down way, and you live up Harrisburg way, you know.
Well, you realize, though, that the roads that you would have to take to get to him go right past me. We're only, like, maybe 10 minutes off the path.
Depends on how you go.
Oh yeah.
If I go via Harrisburg, yeah. Me, if I go, I head south on 222 to Lancaster, and then go east.
Yeah, and you take all the way.
And I take Route 30 all the way to.
Yeah, 30 is not that far out of the way from Harrisburg. It passes by.
Not
too far down the road.
Yeah. Look at the map sometime. You'll see it. But anyway, okay, well.
Oh, no, I know it. I've driven to York and driven to there and driven to here and there. I used to commute to York.
Yeah, remember, I'm in Reading, Doug. I'm in Reading.
Yeah. I know you're in Reading.
Okay.
It's a long drive.
Yeah.
But we're not that far out of the way.
Understood. Okay. Okay.
Oh, yeah, Sweetie's saying they passed Reading twice today because she took him to a museum in Philly. But
Yep.
Okay, guys. Paul wants to kick me off the phone so we can end his podcast in a nice way without saying get off. So there's that.
Okay. Have a good night, Doug.
And we can talk about Monday. Like maybe tomorrow or Saturday yet.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Yeah.
You want.
Okay.
I mean, if I go, I would probably just want to catch a ride down and back from, you know, somebody else who might be going, blah, 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 blah. Or, I don't know. We'll see.
Understood.
That's pretty much all I got.
Okay. Well, you have a good night.
Okay. You too. Thank you.
Bye. So, brought up the Gamers of Winter and Gamers of... Oops, that's the wrong one. That's what I wanted to press. Gamers of Winter, Gamers of Summer, which, the you know, I've mentioned it multiple times throughout the years. of this, you know, basically single room convention that is run by Doug Howard. He does most of the work to set it all up. And obviously he's been doing it for so many years and had it shut down for a little bit while COVID, you know, because no one's going to come out when you're basically are shut down, you know, stay at home, that kind of thing. But, you know, it was nice to bring it up. I'm hoping that we'll have some people go to the GoFundMe page and help out, you know, so that we can actually do this. And, of course, see how, you know, when it comes to, you know, Council of Five Nations and the SAB event there, and see maybe they can transform it to be a separate event or something along those lines. I understand that it's getting smaller and smaller. Maybe we can possibly boost those numbers a little bit here and there. So anyway, with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.